We've got Naranoa in the studio. Good morning.
Ai, ata mari e te whānau whānui o Whaingaroa. Ai, kānui te mihi atu ki a koutou I tēnei ata. So we're in the month of Hongongoi, and we're in the phase of the other side of the full moon, and that might mean something to you, it may not, but it's where the moon is up to.
It's where the moon is. Well, it might mean something if you're
the marama.
And for your garden, perhaps.
Oh, it means many things. It's got much to offer. It's something that we haven't. I think that portal, what I call that portal of maramataka, which is around the moon, the feminine side of creation, will open its doors, and we will be more. Able to listen to what the offerings from there, because we're currently, you know, we're solar based, what we call the solar energy of the sun, and that's an imbalance. So we have an imbalance of knowledge around how we navigate our life, primarily because it's what's currently being offered in social media as well.
Yes. There's a lot to say about the social media offerings.
There's an awful lot.
We probably don't want to spend too long there.
No. It's a very dangerous field, actually. And I do remember a comment that was made at the beginning of when we went into this incredible storyline around this pandemic. He said, throw your TVs into the lake. You know, literally, because the information that was being fed through social media was doing an extraordinary amount of harm.
Or to put it in other terms, it was freaking people out.
Yeah, and I think without good, conscious understanding, that was not, may have not been the intention, but it definitely wasn't monitored to the degree to understand that people were receiving it and literally freaking out.
Well, I think to start with, the intention was to sell advertising, but later on, I actually think a lot of journalists in mainstream New Zealand thought it was their job to frighten people into getting vaccinated. I felt like having looked at what they'd done, I actually think, and certainly the government, the Ministry of Health, thought that was the way to get people to be vaccinated and to achieve their goal. Frightening people was a way to do that.
The word comes to mind, bullying, professional bullying, and I wouldn't say that without having quite a lot of thought around how that unfolded, because it divided families, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, children from their parents, because they realised they actually had different belief systems that they were aware of, and they didn't have the opportunity to sit and actually debate. It was like, no, you've got to do this now. In fact, if you don't do it now, these are the consequences. Well, we're currently in the consequences of the way that story unfolded. We have a huge, platform of mental health issues, extraordinary amount, that have come from that way of thinking that was originally, I believe.
A lot of us were trying to argue our position from a place of being freaked out, and at that point, it's very hard to sit with other people and have a mediator. Well, you'd need a mediator to have a discussion with your own family.
Who actually were delivering the information to us, that platform was very small. It was a Western science medical model, and that platform is extremely small. As we know, within our own community and within those who sit in what we call holistic healing spaces, they had so much to offer, but their voice was absolutely not allowed to be heard. And we didn't sit on that platform.
Well, I know conventional doctors who were asking the question, if making people stressed can lower their immune ability, why the campaign to get people vaccinated had so much stuff in it that would stress people out. Like, there's even evidence that the vaccine doesn't work so well when you give it to someone who's stressed at the time. This is what I was told. So even Western medicine, purely in a narrow, very narrow view, was saying that there's a problem with the way they did it. So, well, but you're coming from an even wider point of view, it's probably much clearer from there.
It's very clear. It's the platform was far too small right from the very beginning. Therefore, there was this formula called complementary or alternative. And mainstream, if it was mainstream, it was Western science. And that's dangerous because there has always been a platform of the underground. Okay, I'll call it the underground, which is indigenous Mātauranga Māori, of knowledge that has been kept and practiced but had no opportunity to offer its medicine for the people, the rongoā for the people, when we initially, you know, I do believe that we would not be where we are today if that platform had been immediately widened and others were allowed to sit, not allowed, or not validated, but actually given the opportunity to speak.
So what would have been said if the opportunity was there?
That's past. That's the past, but because it's not going to come again in the same way, we're actually now reaping the consequences of that tiny platform. Consequences, quite literally. We have a huge mental health problems that have come directly from the way that people were fed. It's what you feed your people, and that platform was through social media, was one of them, and unfortunately it gained a lot of, it was far too dominant.
So when you're saying fed, you mean like?
Food for the mind.
Food for the mind, yeah.
Yeah, food for the mind, and it was very narrow, a very narrow aspect. It was based on data, was based on statistics, and that's very dangerous. People can't comprehend that. I'm not saying we're not intelligent enough. The fact that they were using a very small part of what we call the henengaro to filter that information then meant that we believed it in its simplicity, that it was the truth, and that's really harmful.
Yeah, well, we weren't to be, the public wasn't to be trusted with information. That, like, no one in the Ministry of Health wanted to have a detailed discussion about it. I managed to get a detailed discussion out of a local doctor who's not a practicing MD. But that was really rare to be able to have an in-depth discussion about it. Instead it was, we're the experts and we say you should do this. And for a lot of people that's all they want. But for other people who had questions in their mind, it was a difficult time, I think.
I believe that human inquiry is a very natural part of who we are. When you shut down that portal, you design humans into something which is much smaller than who they are. They actually have lots of questions, and when you begin to offer them something which shuts that down, then, you know, you're going to reduce our ability to have what is called our own sovereignty. And that was very clearly not going to be on the platform.
And sovereignty is very important to our mental health, isn't it? Like autonomy is...
It's everything. Yeah. It's extremely important to the way that we continue as humans to recreate, to reproduce, and the way that we navigate going forward for the next millennia, that we use it a lot. We use the word sovereignty in a variety of ways, food sovereignty,
yep.
A sovereign being. And that definitely through this experience has, throughout different countries, has been completely ignored.
So can you say what your practice is based in and where, what that would suggest we should be doing now?
So rongoā is a practice around understanding that you have relationships to the world which are not limited to mental, your henengaro, your physical well-being, your social well-being, your emotional body, and your, what's the other one?
So we're getting for spiritual here, or?
And wairua.
Yeah.
Our spiritual well-being. Each one of those has as an individual part, cannot serve you and offer you the healing that you require. You must have different aspects of them offered to you so you can see a greater picture of your sovereign being. Of, you know, if you haven't received that throughout your life, then it's very difficult to pick it up, the threads, because your concentration will be primarily, say, on mental information for the mind, which is very dangerous, extremely dangerous. And so in rongoā, you can look at your relationship to the world through an integrated approach of those aspects of who you are that make up the human being. Mm.
So why do you say that the dealing with the mind through the mind only is, or looking at that aspect mostly, is dangerous?
The mind is a very small part of who we are, and one of the things that we noticed in recent years was when we went into we were shut down, lockdown.
Yep, in lockdown. Yep.
How quiet the world became.
Mm.
How quiet the middle of the city became, and there was this nature began to inhabit the trees in the middle of the city because it wasn't noisy, and they weren't being dominated by the noise of vehicles, the noise of humans. We have a great capacity to use our mental mind to speak outwardly, but one of the greatest gifts that we've been given throughout the centuries is how to go inward, and we choose generally to speak our minds rather than quieten our minds when the tools that have been made available to us through the spiritual portal are extremely important tools to quieten the mind.
And what's the benefit of quietening the mind?
Yes, that's a really important body of mātauranga, because it enables you to withdraw from a way that you think, which is primarily something that is imported into you, is not what we call who you really are. You find the essence of who you are in the silence. It's ancient knowledge. It's a beautiful opportunity to become more quiet.
Do you have time during the day or during the week where you are looking to do that, to practice that?
Oh, absolutely. It's a daily practice. I totally embrace it. Interesting. I had a comment from my daughter the other day. She said most people would wake up and turn their phones on, if they're not already on,
yeah,
and look at their phones. And she was commenting, she said, but my mother would meditate, go into silence, to actually have techniques which enable me to be quiet to start the day, not noisy.
I tried for a while turning the phone on in the morning, but it's like restarting an argument you were having the night before in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well, it's very normal.
I know a lot of people do it.
And change that practice is quite a discipline where you actually find your centre, the centre of your being through becoming more quiet. Mm. And it's definitely has huge benefits because you're in charge. You realise you're in charge. You're not in charge when you turn your phone on. That's not you. That's you looking outwardly all the time.
At a system that is designed to keep you in it.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it'll eat you up. And that might be a... Yeah.
So was this what we were going to talk about to start with?
I wanted to really introduce to our listeners the beautiful field of, or introduce a thought, sow the seed, around homeopathy.
Yeah.
And homeopathy, I'm not a classical homeopath.
Yeah.
But I believe totally in its medicines and the way that it works. It's like cures like. We have homeopaths, classical homeopaths in our community. And that relationship that it I've recently been studying the work of Robert van der Touw, I think, T-O-U-W, and I understand he lives in Kerikeri, and he's written about the metaphysical relationship of native plants. He's a homeopath,
yeah,
but he's now done an extensive manual on the medicines of Aotearoa, the actual native endemic plants of Aotearoa, which is pretty rare.
Mm.
And so his offerings are around that, and I see that he's written extensively around.
So are you finding connections between that and Mātauranga Māori?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. He's definitely... obviously brought his Western from the knowledge of homeopathy and lives and breathes the forest where he currently teaches his practices from.
Do you want to get a drink of water? Shall we do that? Shall I play some music? And we'll get sorted here. Hey, listening to The Morning Show with Aaron. We just dipped into Karanga there, but we're in the studio with Ngaronoa Renata. And I should say, on your business card, what does it say that you do?
Oh, kai rongoa.
Kai rongoa, which is traditional Māori medicine. Is that a phrase to describe it?
Yeah. That's a really important way of describing it. Describing yourself is quite an ongoing process, I feel.
Yeah, the whole interview will probably give a better picture than just those words, but it gives people something to like start with, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah, I know people like to put people in a box. It's the easy way to do it. But there's lots to stay here. So, and where were we? We were talking about the homeopathy.
Homeopathy connection. And one of the words, the connection for me, and the relationship of homeopathy to rongoā Māori is through what is known as the metaphysical.
Mm.
And I looked it up, and metaphysical is derived from the Greek meta to physika, after the things of nature.
Yeah.
So it's studies of what cannot be reached through objective study of material reality.
Ah.
And objectivity and subjectivity is the language of... Western science, where if you're objective, you don't have a relationship with it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And subjective means that you're imposing or imprinting the subject matter.
And this Yeah, and we're used to that concept of objectivity. Everyone is supposed to be objective about everything, which may not be possible. We always have assumptions that we might be unaware of, I guess. That's a whole other discussion, though.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And it's this saying here about material reality, and that's precisely where we get into an area that we should not claim to be, how do you say, completely well-versed in, because the world is not only of a material nature, and that's a fact. But we cannot claim that because Western science can't prove it, and that's the problem. That is the big problem.
Yeah. So if it can't be measured or observed or proven through physical means, it kind of doesn't. It can't be discussed in Western science. Is that what you're saying?
Acknowledged. It's not acknowledged.
Yeah. It doesn't. If it can't be measured, it doesn't exist. It's kind of how it works out.
And so it can't be felt, and yet it is felt by people. There's a relationship that we have to that by our experience, or the way that it works, but we can't explain it.
I guess for people who are struggling with the conversation and criticism of Western science, I guess we can look at the study of consciousness, which is a really problematic area for science. There's a lot of, there's people working hard, and you can kind of measure the consciousness in the sense that you can measure when someone is conscious and when they're unconscious, and you can observe. But outside of that, it's hard to define exactly what consciousness. We can't define consciousness in physical terms because it's not a physical thing.
Within the Western science model, consciousness is about, my understanding is that when you offer them a medicine that puts them to sleep, so yeah, they become unconscious, and that medicine. But that's got nothing to do with consciousness.
Yeah, I guess I was just looking for something.
That's how the word is used, and that's a very limited use of the word. Consciousness is a much greater capacity beyond the human mind to know the human mind. That's another whole field. However, it's a very real field and has been with us for hundreds of thousands of years, but we don't pay attention to it because we're very caught up in the mind.
Yeah, but
the mind is talking.
But there are cultures who've spent a long time looking at issues around consciousness and spirituality.
Spirituality, yes, and devoted their lives and many lifetimes to understanding it and offering it back into our communities.
I find it hard to talk about the issue without wanting to placate people who are like, that's not scientific, who get uncomfortable with it or annoyed by it or dismissive of it. Would this discussion be easier to have if we were speaking Māori?
Well,
where there's a different language, a different culture, different assumptions?
Absolutely. I think within what can be offered within the reo and other indigenous languages is another whole body of mātauranga,
yeah,
that is not understood with and cannot be understood through the use of the English language. Mm. Yeah, I believe that to be so from my experience.
Mm.
Mm. Can I share a karakia that was gifted to me?
Yeah.
And I have found it as a source of great, healing. It goes like this. I'll read the English and then the Māori.
Okay.
It goes, you may choose to use it in your day. May the sun bring you energy by day. May the moon softly restore you by night. May the rain wash away your worries. May the wind blow new strength into your being. May you walk on this earth in peace, and all the days of your life know its beauty forever and ever. the Māori, it's like this. Mā te rā e kaue mai te ngoi, iara, iara. Mā te marama e whakaora i a koe i Wainganui pō. Mā te ua e horoi o mā harahara. Mā te hau e pupuhi te pā kahukahu ki roto i tō tinana. I roto i au hikoitanga i te ao, kia whakaro koe ki te humārie a tāhua hoki i ō rā mō ake tonu atu. Amene.
Did you do the translation of that, or did you get that from somewhere else?
No. This was actually gifted to me from a friend, a local friend who was actually at a COVID vaccination centre, and they saw it on the wall. And ever since then, I've really found it to be a source of great healing.
Mm.
So just within those words, you know, it offers. Yeah, it offers a genuine energy of healing.
I'm curious, it's probably not what you wanted to talk about, but I'm curious about the translations, if even it is a translation, do they feel different to read nonetheless?
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Although I do find the English very poetic.
Yeah.
And both have their strengths in terms of how they can deliver a healing, as a healing ritual, if you are offering it to in a genuine way. Although, you know, karakia is also a conscious, genuine desire to offer words that will from the heart. So when it's read, whether it's in English or Māori or what other language you may choose and have it you have available to you, it's consciously where does that, how do you express those words? The expression of those words is important.
I'm always curious about that, because I guess since I became aware that there are concepts that are really hard to translate from one language to another, to the point where some concepts are best understood by learning the language. At least that's what I'm told, because I really only know one.
yeah, for sure. I think to have an opportunity to learn the language of another people, if that is given to you, and you at some level consciously want to desire to make contact with people, Indigenous people, in that way, I think you have a great opportunity for healing across nations.
Healing
across nations.
Yeah, and within nations as well, let's face it.
And becoming more receptive, your ears become receptive to, you hear something familiar, maybe the sound of home.
Yeah.
A sound, the reo, you hear a few words and you go, oh, I can hear my people. And that's a great...
I think most of us feel that when we're overseas, regardless of the colour of our skin or what language we can speak, when we hear Māori when we're overseas, it is familiar.
Yes, it becomes medicine. You realise that it's medicine for you. You know, it's something you have a whole lot of imagery associated with it. Or people, you go, oh yes, haere mai. And you consciously or unconsciously realise that your connection to the land, your birthplace, the place that you grew up, is a very deep connection. And so it's something you may not be aware of until you're without it. And then you hear a few words and you go, oh, and it touches you. Mm, yeah. Yeah, so true.
So have you covered everything you wanted to cover with that?
Yes, I have really. I just wanted to briefly introduce this. I did want to have a small offering here out of the book that this classical homeopath has written. I wanted to share that.
Gentleman from Kerikeri.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Yes. Yes. He's of, I think he's of Dutch descent. I'm still reading his work, but I'm taking my time so that I don't miss any of the essence of what he's offered in his work, Medicine for the Future. This one I wanted to share is called The Tears of Amber, and it's about the Kodi gum. And because I work with the Kodi gum in a particular way, ceremonially, I read this and I was very taken by how he had learnt from a connection to the Kodi gum these aspects that he shared here. So the Kodi gum is the resin from the great Kodi trees, the giant Kodi trees, which freely flows when a tree is cut in an attempt to heal an injured wound. Kodi gum is symbolic of the perfection in nature's way, the natural response of the vital force within an entity to heal itself. Tears of Amber is powerful healer of Mother Nature, combining the healing gifts of the mighty forest trees with the golden luster of the sun. This is I'm holding a piece of this Kodi. Here. The giant Kodi trees of the northern New Zealand forests are a symbol of grandeur, majesty and mana status. Their straight growing pattern and their ability to shed bark reminds us to stand tall and to let go of things we no longer require for our journey. So in a certain way, I use the Kodi gum that is gifted to me ceremonially, and he has these, just read these words that he's offered here. It says, a affirmation, I open my heart to compassion and heal all my inner wounds. So the Tears of Amber captures the principle of the self-healing powers of Mother Nature. So that's pretty big deal. In a sense, it's used like incense because I burn it on charcoal.
You did that at the Matariki celebration.
Yes. I wanted to show some of its beauty, or share the beauty of the Kodi as the Tears of Amber, the Kodi gum, and its potential to offer healing through that way of healing. Because we often burn incense, or quite a few in our community, but this is our own incense. This is in our offering from here.
Right. Yeah.
So we've gone out way out into the ngahere, into the forest, haven't we?
Yeah, well, we often do, which is cool. It's cool. I know you also you run classes, sometimes language classes and sometimes rongoa classes as well. So have you got anything coming up?
Yes, I do. At the beginning of August, I will begin a journey of offering a rongoa classes from Sun Salute, a studio in Hamilton East, on Monday afternoons, and I think that will go from 1:30 till 3:30.
Okay.
On Monday afternoons.
Do you need any prior knowledge to come to this?
No. It's definitely going to be a very. There's no leveling of, you're doing level 4, level 2.
Yeah.
It's really an opportunity to connect with rongoa and gain some insight and understanding into how it can be medicine for useful medicine.
I know people will be saying, are you going to do one in Raglan? I have to ask.
let me organise myself. I was saying to Max, who's the administrator up at the Old School Art Centre, I said I need to break down the barrier, which is about, you know, that they have a beautiful facility there,
yeah,
which I've taught in for a number of years, but I'm still not ready, and when I am, I'll just burst in, I think, burst in the
okay.
doors.
And, okay.
And that may happen tomorrow, I'm not sure, but it's got to happen naturally.
Yeah,
I can't, you know, because of the restrictions, you know, are you vaccinated, are you unvaccinated?
Is that still an issue?
I think within, in the back of my mind, I'm...
Okay, yeah, okay,
I still,
understand.
You know,
yeah.
It's a bigger... But you know, when the doors burst open, I'll let you know that I'm in there.
Okay. And now, how do people get in touch with you or book, or do they need to book?
Oh, okay. So, do I give my cell phone number on here, or is that...
Well, it's up to you.
I
don't give other people's numbers out. That would be irresponsible. But if you want to give yours out, that's all good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. At this point, that would be the best way. On 027-414-2414.
Okay. Do you have an online presence or something? Because people tend to...
An online presence? That's very much not.
Very much not. Oh, folks, you have to remember that number. People give me instructions now and I don't really listen, and I think I'll just find that online later on.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is why I'm giving people a warning. You have to use your memory properly.
Online.
Should we
Thank
say
you.
The number again?
027-414-2414.
There we go.
But I'll work on the online presence, okay?
Well, but today, folks, no, it's good to use our memories the way we used to. But it's a challenge sometimes. It's really weird. I just noticed this. I know this because when I was away, my phone died. And someone gave me instructions twice on how to get to a place. And I'm normally really good at finding places. And it was just a nightmare because my brain was automatically not paying that much attention to instructions, thinking that it could use Google Maps later on. But I didn't have the opportunity. I had to go to a service station and ask people for help. Like the old days. Yeah. There we go. Hey, folks, we've been talking to Ngaronoa Renata, and it's our Kairongoa segment. And we're done for the day. Thank you for coming
yes,
in.
Yes.
And we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Aye, kia ora.